God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, continuing today with grandmother stories. I had a letter from a grandmother named Charlotte, and she said the big thing we do is to take a special trip, just one boy and I, on the year of their 8th birthday. Such a special memory, opportunity to be together for a week or so and have time to get to know each other. It's a frequent topic of conversation. Now, isn't that a wonderful idea? Charlotte taking one grandson when he's 8 years old for a whole week together. I think maybe some of you would want to try that. And then here's a lovely little story called Grandma Ruby. Being a mother of two very active boys, ages 7 and 1, I'm sometimes worried about their making a shambles of my carefully decorated home. In their innocence and play, they occasionally knock over my favorite lamp or upset my well-designed arrangements. In these moments, when nothing feels sacred, I remember the lesson I learned from my wise mother-in-law, Ruby. Ruby is the mother of 6 and grandmother of 13. She's the embodiment of gentleness, patience, and love. One Christmas, all the children and grandchildren were gathered as usual at Ruby's home. Just the month before, Ruby had bought beautiful new white carpeting after living with the same old carpet for 25 years. She was overjoyed with the new look it gave her home. My brother-in-law, Arnie, had just distributed his gifts for all the nieces and nephews, prized homemade honey from his beehives. They were excited. But as fate would have it, 8-year-old Sheena spilled her tub of honey on Grandma's new carpeting and trailed it throughout the entire downstairs of the house. Crying, Sheena ran into the kitchen and into Grandma Ruby's arms.
"Grandma, I've spilled my honey all over your brand new carpet."
Grandma Ruby knelt down, looked tenderly into Sheena's tearful eyes, and said, "Don't worry, sweetheart. We can get you more honey." Would that have been your response? "Don't worry, sweetheart. We can get you more honey." As though that was what Sheena was crying about. I had asked for letters from my listeners to tell me their grandmother stories, and I got a lovely response, and so I'm going to read you some more of those. This is from someone named Peg Nichols in St. Louis, Missouri. She said, "I went before the Lord and asked for His way. Wouldn't you know, I listened to your tape on a grandmother's influence, and you suggested that we write letters. I had already committed a weekly, now twice weekly, letter to my daughter. Then the idea came, write Cassandra and Alexandria a weekly letter. I believe being a grandparent is our opportunity to a second chance at things we missed with our own, such as in our case, we were Sunday-only Christians. I decided to use my letters for spiritual training. I pray over every letter. I pray even during the week for God to give me the lesson He has and is preparing their little hearts to receive. Each letter is unique. I am an artist, and I use the envelope to witness to the carrier. I illustrate the letters. Most letters are very simple for a 2- and 4-year-old to understand. During June, I used our vacation Bible school's emphasis on faith. I so look forward to writing these little letters. It has helped to know I'm planting seeds for a future harvest." I want to say amen to that letter. I've had a number of grandmothers ask me, "Well, what can I do for my grandchildren besides pray for them? Or if you live nearby, have them over for meals and that sort of thing." But there's really nothing that replaces a letter. It's something that you can save. And I saved the very few letters that I ever received from one of my grandmothers. I don't think I ever received any letters from the other one. And here's another one from Carol Lee. I don't know if it's pronounced Reich or Reich, in Halifax, Pennsylvania. She wrote, on one of my many sleepless, prayerful nights, the Lord spoke to my heart as I prayed for each of my 5 grandchildren. He impressed upon me the great responsibility of being a grandparent. I cried out to him, Lord, what would you have me to do? He answered, in your quest to write for me, you have missed the greatest opportunity, your grandchildren. One thought led to another, as the Lord and I communed that night. I woke next morning and created Nana's newsletter. I gathered coloring papers, jokes, riddles, and wrote a personal letter explaining that this newsletter would arrive every month. I inserted scripture for them to memorize and told them to write to me and tell me all about themselves. I included a self-addressed stamped postcard. They are small and would not have to bother their parents to help them with the mailing. That's a good idea, isn't it? Think about that one, you grandparents. Just a self-addressed postcard. You may get a response when you would never get a response otherwise, because it does make it very easy for a child to answer. And I must confess that there are times when I write letters to my grandchildren and I do enclose a self-addressed postcard. And you know you can get them at the post office. You don't have to buy the fancy ones with the pictures and then put a stamp on them. Just go to the post office. They cost, at this particular recording, 19 cents. One never knows when they're going to go up again. And Carol Lee goes on to say, I bought a greeting card CD-ROM for the computer, and with it, I can do all sorts of creative, personalized, fun things. For those of you that are computer whizzes, there's a suggestion. That's way over my head. Yes, I do have a computer, but I haven't the foggiest idea what a CD-ROM is. She goes on to say, my grandchildren's ages range from 3 to 10. I individualize each package I send them according to age and interests. I must tell you, they responded as if I had given them $1 million. Cody lives in Denver, Colorado. He was so excited to be in touch with his cousins' lives. Now he is no longer a stranger to them when he comes home for a visit. The rest of the kids know all about him, and he knows all about them. I always request information about what is happening in each one of their lives. The neat thing is, they respond. Nana's newsletter has not only been a connection for the children, but has been a tremendous blessing for Nana and Grandpa. Now I want to read about a grandmother from 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Here Paul is telling us that the faith which he has found in this young man, Timothy, who became one of his sons in the Lord, had begun through his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And there is no mention of his father here, so it may be that his father did not have the spiritual riches that the grandmother and the mother could share with that boy. But Paul sees certain qualities in this young man, which he is assuming and feels quite sure came from the grandmother and the mother. And so he tells him to fan into flame the gift of God. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. I love that verse. I am prone to be fearful from time to time. And I realize that if I feel timid about something, the spirit of timidity did not come from God. God gives us instead a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So Paul says to this young man, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And so I want to challenge you, grandparents. What sort of a message do your grandchildren get just by the way you live, and by your love for them, by the way you treat them when you visit their home or they visit your home? It is a solemn responsibility before God that we have as old folks. If God has given us children and grandchildren, God is going to hold us responsible for praying for them, for demonstrating to them what the life of Jesus is all about.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. This is Joy Raley, inviting you back for more encouragement and challenge with Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.